Vermilia mentioned earlier compassion, which is a key theme for us today. So help me out with this. What would you say compassion is? What is compassion? Sure, so to mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. Good. What else would you say? Caring about what happens to others. That's good. Good. Yeah, something else you want to add to that?
There's a component of empathy, placing yourself in another's shoes and understanding and trying to gain insight into the challenges of that situation.
Good, good. So it's not just feeling for others, but it's feeling with them and putting myself in their place. Yeah, entering into their experience. Definition I found online, it's a sympathetic awareness of others' distress, right? So this sympathy that I feel, I suffer with people and I'm aware of their distress. But it's not just that, because it's also together with a desire to reduce that distress, right? It's not enough to say, oh, I see, I'm so sorry, that's a hard situation. It also says, and in me, there's something that wants to help fix that, help improve the situation, right? Help in that need. What awakens compassion in people? They, you know, what is it that people say? Wow, I sense compassion. What is it that helps bring that about in people? Sure, suffering when we see that suffering, right? And when we see it, it awakens compassion in us. What else happens that awakens compassion? Sure. So there's a way in which it's not just their suffering, but it's something I can really relate to. Good. Somebody else?
When we see injustice.
Sure. So injustice is something in particular that really awakens in us this compassion. What awakens it in you? And you don't have to answer this out loud, but what is it that for you, when you see or experience this, you say, wow, that gets my attention? And I know in our family, we have some for whom, you know, a physical thing that we see, a physical suffering, it's like, wow, that really awakens things. Other times it's an emotional suffering that really awakens in me this compassion. But this question, so what do you do when you feel compassion? What do people do? What do you do? Great. So there's something in us that says this, like this idea to reduce the distress. How can I enter into this? How can I help? Right? And we look for ways to do that, to say, how could I really enter into this and make a difference? What we want to think about for a few minutes today is, what awakens compassion in God, and what does he do about it? So let's pray and ask him to be at work in teaching us. Father in heaven, we have sung about your compassion today. We have read about it. Father, I pray that you would teach us now that by your Spirit, you would help us better see who you are and how you work in this world, and that you would call us to be like you. Thank you that you speak, and so we are, as your servants, ready to listen, eager to be your students, that you would teach us. Through your Son we pray. Amen. The title today, God's Work in Human Forms, we'll talk about this drawing in a few minutes. We're in Matthew chapter 9. If we get some help, or Jim, maybe Seth would help out too. If you pass out some Bibles if people need them, thank you. It is marked in the Bibles that will be coming down. Just find the bookmark and it'll be there. While that's coming, I just wanted to say a word about some pieces of paper that are in your worship folder. So there should be three things that you would see in there. One is a handout that has the title God's Work in Human Form on it with blanks. Not to play a game, but to have this sense of support for learning. And for me, I need to write when I learn. And so this is one way to support that and to help guide people through it. Another thing we have is an insert about Lord's Supper, and we will be celebrating that together as a church next week. And so if you'll be back here next week, we've included it just so you can be a little bit more aware of what is coming with that. And then the last thing is this thing that looks like a little grid. We encourage each other in reading the Bible on a regular basis, and there are lots of different ways to do that. But here's a plan that I'll be endeavoring to keep up with. that that many of us are doing, and it's just taking a chapter a day, going through the Gospel of Mark. And so this covers September and October, just to encourage each other in continuing to learn. And if the Bible is new to you, I think this is a great way to step into it. So we're looking at Matthew 9. There's a fascinating thing here. So I just have the first verse up here, Matthew 9. We're stepping into the middle of the story, but let me read this verse and then back up a little bit. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Sometimes when I'm reading through the Bible, something says, that sounds familiar, right? And sometimes I think, actually, we're running an experiment in my lab right now, and there's an interview protocol, and the person who is going through the interview protocol asked the same question twice. And there it was a mistake, right? It's like, yeah, we didn't mean to ask that again. There was a little bit of confusion. Sometimes I wonder, I'm reading the Bible, and it's like, is this a mistake? Because if we go back just a couple of chapters, you notice the similarity in these words. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. In italics, I put the only words that are different. Otherwise, these statements are exactly the same. So did Matthew forget? It's like, oh, that was such a good line. I want to use it again, right? Often what's happening is that an author will put that at the beginning and the end of a section and say, okay, now that should make you think back. So let me show you a couple of things in these statements. It says that Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming. Well, chapters 5-7, in between these two sections in Matthew, is this famous, longest sermon we have of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. He went up on a mountainside and he taught. And he taught a lot of stuff. And it seemed to go on for a long time. And so Matthew says, Jesus went out teaching and proclaiming. And he says, and here's a whole bunch of what he taught. Then it also says, Jesus went around healing every disease and sickness. And in chapters 8 and 9, Jesus heals a leper, somebody who's paralyzed, somebody who has a fever, who is blind and can't speak, somebody who has a demon in a demon possession, those who are sick, even raised a dead girl back to life. And so we see in this section that Matthew says Jesus went around teaching and healing. And so he says, here's his teaching, here's his healing. And then he comes back and says, so Jesus went around and did a lot of teaching and healing. So it's very important to Matthew. This is a key thing that Jesus did. Okay, so that's a little bit of the backstory. Now we'll just walk through these verses together, Matthew 9, and I'll start with that verse I just read, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So we stop there for a second. Jesus went all these places. He went to all these villages around, and he would stop there, and he would teach, and he would heal every disease. Lots of miraculous healing, as we just read about. And we're told that when Jesus saw all these people, he had compassion on them. Because, he says, they were like sheep that had nobody to protect them. And the people in that community knew all about sheep. Right? It might be a little bit like saying, I took an elementary school child and just said, go look for things on the internet. Enjoy. Find whatever you can. Right? And we say, I'm a little nervous just sending them out into this wide world of all sorts of things. Or just saying, you know, why don't you go over to the Meridian Mall and I'll pick you up in a couple hours. So here's a little spending money and we just send the kids off. And it's like, no, you can't do that. You've got to protect them. Jesus looked at these crowds and said, it's like sending a kid off to the mall and saying, just go enjoy yourself. Say, no. We need to protect this person. And so Jesus, we're told, had compassion. In compassion, then here's what he did. He proclaimed good news and brought healing to those who were vulnerable. Okay, I have a vocabulary question. And I promise this is in English. Does anybody know what splunknik is? It's one of my favorite words. Splunknik. So this is related to internal organs, okay? Now, there's a reason I'm teaching you this, but it's, right, it's your internal organs, your gut, right? So I'm going to teach you a Greek word from which this comes from, splunknidzomai. Now, you just got to love that word, right? Splunknidzomai, right? That means to have compassion. I love this word because to have compassion is when your insides turn. You say there's something has to be done about this, right? It's a very deep, deep response to say, I feel for the people in the situation. I have to do something. This is the compassion that Jesus had. This is the word. He says, I saw those people and something must be done. Right? I have to take action. And so he was doing it. He was out teaching and he was healing. But keep going, verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. When Jesus saw the need, his compassion, it awoke. He said something has to be done. And so he did what he could personally. But he said to his disciples, we've got to have more people helping, right? We've got to get more people active in providing this care. So seeing the great need among the people, Jesus told his followers to do what? He said, pray. Pray to the God of the harvest, to the God of compassion, to say, we need more people. You know, send word back to God saying, please send more people. It's interesting. He doesn't say to the disciples, go find other people and make them do this. And if they're not doing it, make them feel guilty until they start doing it, right? He didn't say that. He said, go to the Lord of the harvest. Go to God, who is the one who cares for these sheep, and beg him, please send more workers. Now, in Jesus' day, they understood this very well, right? Because Karen's family has an orchard. And when the apples grow, there's a window of time where you've got to pick these apples. Right? If you wait until it freezes, they're ruined. If you wait till they drop, you can't use them in the same way. And so when it's time, we need to do something. And so that was the case in Jesus' day. They would go find more workers. They would hire more workers because right now is the time to harvest. If we don't, we'll miss it. Jesus said it's like that. We should say more workers are needed because there's so much to be done in compassion to be shown to people. And so he says, pray that God would send out more workers. So then we get to chapter 10, and we're told about how this happens. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So stop there for a second. We're told that Jesus called 12 men, 12 guys to him, and he gave them authority. Said, you guys can probably speak, but this healing diseases and casting out spirits, this isn't something you can do. It's not something you can do on your own, but I'm going to give you authority so that in my name you can go out and heal people. And then he picks these 12, and we're told their names, and we're told a little bit more about them. I want to just highlight a couple. One, we're told about Matthew, the tax collector. And on my Bible, I just jump back to verse 9 of this chapter. It tells us the story about Matthew. And it says that as Jesus went from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. It looks like Jesus went out and said, you know what? I need on my team a tax collector. Now, Irv joked about going to the dark side and being an administrator. And it's not really the dark side. But being a tax collector was. This was something that really was offensive to the people. Because what they did was use their ability in speaking Aramaic or Hebrew and their connections and where they lived to gather money for the hated Romans. Right? And they took advantage of this. And so these were people working with the enemy. And people hated them. And it looks like Jesus went out. It doesn't say Matthew's like, oh, pick me, pick me. Jesus went and said, I need a tax collector to be in my group. I need a tax collector to be among them. And so he picks Matthew. And Matthew, it seems, is the one who's written this story down for us. But you know, there's another one that he picked. It says Simon the Zealot. Now it seems that a zealot was kind of the opposite of a tax collector. A zealot says, we want to do everything we can to get rid of the Romans. They're in power over us and we don't like them, and so we're going to fight against them. And Jesus picks the tax collector, who is a sympathizer with the hated ones, and he picks somebody who is fighting against them. He has an interesting way of going about building a team. And then the last one, he picks the one who would later betray him. Right? It's an interesting group, and Jesus goes and says, here's my team, I'm going to send them out. Right? So Jesus called and gave authority to these 12 sent ones. That's what the word apostle means. I'm sending these out. And he picked a diverse and imperfect group. In fact, all of them would leave him. It wasn't a great group. It was a challenging group. And yet this was the group that started the global church. Right? They're the ones through whom the church as we know it today around the world was formed. Jesus said, we need more workers, and so here's a group of them, and they're not the most likely ones to choose. But he did, and it seems that it worked. And so now verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. What's striking about this is Jesus said to these 12, go out and do what I've been doing. He says, I've been spending all my time among the people of Israel. I want you to do that too. I've been going out and teaching. I want you to do that too. I've been going out healing people and even raising dead people to life. And he says, I want you to do that too. Right? Jesus told them to do his work, to proclaim and to heal. Right? When I look at this section, it seems that we are learning about God's compassion. We're learning that God's compassion is expressed through words and deeds of his people. He says, I'm concerned for these people who need to experience God's care. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to send people. I'm going to call people and send them out. And he does this as he chooses, as he empowers. Right? And one way that we understand this, a statement later on in the New Testament says that we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that, here this is the key phrase, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. The compassion of God should be revealed, should be seen, should be experienced in Christians. Jesus is gone, but by his Spirit he lives in his people. And he says, so I call my people to be my compassion, to express the compassion of God in their words and their deeds. So I want to say a couple of things that are important to step back from this. The first thing is this phrase that's so helpful. The Bible was written for us, not to us. Right? Maybe you were bothered by it. It says, don't go to anybody but those who are Jewish. Right? And it's like, well, wait a minute. This sounds like it's the opposite of a multinational church. Right? This is saying we've got one ethnic group and that's the only place to go. Right? Well, it's important to realize the Bible was written for us, not to us. Right? So in our own family, the kids are moved out now, but we would say, you know, hey, Forrest, it's time for you to do the dishes today. Right? Now, that would be a command to Forrest that Tom and Laura can say, oh, great, this is our day, right? But it's also for them to see, you know, we share this, right? So it was a command not to them, but it was meant for all of us, right, to understand. So it is very significant. A command in the Bible is not necessarily given to me. Just because I find a command doesn't mean it was a command to me. And a promise in the Bible is not necessarily given to me. Right? So just because God says, I'm going to do this in somebody's life, you're going to have a son. That doesn't mean, even if my heart is warmed when I read it, that promise is for me. Right? It takes discernment. It takes understanding. So here's a statement that is given to us. Based on discernment, understanding, later on, Matthew says, go and make disciples of all nations. For a time, he said, there are some people only among this one group. But then he very clearly and intentionally broadens that for all people. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So it takes careful reading and discernment to know how to understand this. Right? So the Bible is written for us, but it's not written to us. So to read carefully, I think it is very clearly saying there are many people who need to hear and experience the good news of Jesus Christ. He says the harvest is plentiful, and I am convinced this is a broad statement in which Jesus is saying people need to know about who Jesus is. They need to know what he has done. Right? They need to know the truth. They need to know the gospel in words. You know, very simply put, we have a creator who is pure and cannot be with anything impure. That's who our God is. That creates the problem, that our impurity breaks our fellowship with God. We're no longer welcome at home with him because he can't be with impurity, and that's who I am. And so then our hope, Jesus, the Son of God, restores us to the Father as a gift by grace. Very simply, short a statement that says people need to know this about God, not that he's looking for good people to count as his own. He's looking for people who need help that he can help by his Son. People need to hear the truth. And the people need to experience the truth. They need to experience the gospel in actions, right? And Jesus is very clear. The New Testament is very clear. He calls his people to meet needs in a way that gives glory to God, right? And there are many people who need to experience this. And it is clear that God calls every one of his people to put his compassion into action. But he calls us differently. Some of us do it through words, telling people of God's gift. Some of us also do it through action, showing people God's compassion and goodness with praise being given to Jesus, right? God's compassion is lived out through people. So, simple application of this. First of all, see the world with the eyes of compassion, right? When we look out, the need is great, and it is clear. As Romalia pointed out, there's so many needs in the world today, so much tension and hatred and suffering. The need is great. Are you moved by it? Are we looking for the need? Are we looking to be moved by it? And as Laura brought up earlier, this idea that we ought to be especially looking for people who have trouble like I've experienced. This doesn't mean the only place that God's going to use me. But if there's a way in which I say, I know the pain of depression or of a broken home or of a struggle with my career path, I can really come alongside people and feel as they feel in this. This is one of the common places where God's compassion will be awakened in us. We need to ask God to give us a heart, right? We need to respond the way Jesus did with this splunk non, right? This gut level reaction says people need help. Somebody should take action. How can I do it? And so we need to do what Jesus said, pray that God would send more workers, right? And I think this means two things. One, it says more of our lives, and the other is more of our people. What I mean by more of our lives is that there are parts of my life where God says, I want you to express compassion in that part of your life. And he wants to do that. So it might be in the job as a teacher. God wants you to express his compassion for people through your work as a teacher. Right? So there are more parts of my life where God wants to express that compassion. And it's also calling more people to live out his compassion. So the final application. The prophet Isaiah, when he encountered God, he said, here am I, Lord, send me. And this is the prayer that I'm convinced Jesus then wanted us to pray. God, send people, but not just don't send other people. You know, I'd love to go. I'd love to be your compassion in this world. Right? And so it is true. We're sent to different places for different kinds of work, but all of God's people are sent, right? And so we should come with a heart that says, God, would you send me? I'd love to play a part. You're the one that guides this, but I'd love to play a part. And would you guide me in that? And so here's the drawing that Karen did for us. And you see all these help wanted signs. And a key thing to notice about them is they're all for different kinds of things, right? They're help wanted signs relating to civic involvement and construction and education and all sorts of different areas, right? There are many different ways to express the compassion of God for people in need. Jesus said there's more work to do than I currently have people doing it. So there are help wanted signs in God's kingdom that says, here's a place for you to engage, right? God is calling his people to enact his compassion. We're to enact his compassion in words by telling the gospel, in deeds by living the gospel. And we're to do it in every part of life, right? In all that we are doing, whether it's taking care of kids at home or doing my work at a job or whatever my action is, he says, I want you to live out my compassion for people. And sometimes he sends us to new places and to new roles. And that's a reality. Sometimes God says, here's somebody I want to go to another country or to another place or change their career path. And sometimes that's the case. Often it just says, where you are, live it out. Why? Because God's compassion is expressed through the words and deeds of his people as he chooses and as he empowers. So I want to go back to my first question, What awakens compassion in God? I would say it's seeing people without spiritual protection and blessing. When God looks and sees people who maybe have moved far away from home and the protection of family isn't there, and maybe they're vulnerable to all sorts of teaching and things that people say, here, try this. You have freedom. Do whatever you would like now, or go down this path. God looks at that and says, I have compassion. I'm concerned for people who don't have that protection, right? That awakens the compassion of God when he sees people who are vulnerable and who are without protection and blessing. What does he do about it? Well, first of all, of course, he sent his son. He sent Jesus Christ to be the enactment, the once for all saving work to rescue those who are in trouble. And then he sends his people with the gospel and in action. Jesus said, pray that people would be called into this work, into expressing the compassion of God. And the challenge of Isaiah is to say, God, would you send me? Take a few minutes of silence for you to respond to this and to listen as God continues speaking. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and pray that you would speak by your Holy Spirit now. Father in heaven, thank you for your work in this world, for speaking even this morning. Father, for those in need of your compassion, Father, move your people to take action, to come alongside, to share your grace, your kindness, your love with them, and hope in you through your Son. And Father, we ask that you'd move us, you'd call us to walk in the ways of your Son.